Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money, major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? March has never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right, time for another installment of It's My House. And today's podcast is titled Tribes, Tribalism, and Identity Marketing. You can also say Tribal Marketing. And I probably need you guys' help because I need to tweak my marketing so I can hit a consistent bullseye on a regular. But we'll go into that momentarily. But one of the reasons why, and I think primary reasons why I play most mornings now, well, this year at least, the Jamarian Stiles audio at the start of the show is or program is because Jamarian basically operates on three simple principles that anybody or any of us can apply in our daily lives, particularly when we come upon a challenge or what we might perceive as a challenge. Or in some cases, you might even might be facing what you might perceive as a mountain, or, you know, you need a miracle or whatever, or you feel you don't have the right resources or enough resources or what have you. Three things that Jamarian Stiles, he's probably, I don't know, he might be 18, 19, 20 by now, but, and I've reached out to him on Instagram, but he hasn't responded back yet. I'm going to keep on trying. But anyway, Jamarian, three takeaways from Jamarian that anybody can apply in their lives, regardless of their physicalities or whatever difficulty that you might be facing, is, and this is, you can take this right out of, well, you know what, I'm not even going to mention one of the sources, but number one, Jamarian, his 3-point success formula would be, because like I said, this guy didn't have any arms. So, you know, why even think about trying out for the basketball team? And if you make the basketball team, you know, how are you going to catch the ball, shoot the ball, or whatever? He wasn't totally limbless, but he didn't have any hands. In any event, the three things that we can takeaways that we can take out of Jamarian's life, particularly if you're facing a challenging situation, is number one, start with what you have. Jamarian had a desire and a dream, and he didn't have hands. He didn't have 100% arms, but he had stumps. But that was enough for him to just try out for the team. The second thing, part of Jamarian's success formula, which you can apply to your life, is use what you have. Use what you have. So So Jamarion went out for the team, and he used what he had. You know, he basically had a healthy body. He had legs. He could run. He learned how to, you know, catch the ball and you know, shoot the best he could. But he used what he had. And the third principle, like I said, he didn't have hands, but he used what he did have. And then the third success principle is do what you can. So although Jamarion didn't have fully developed arms like the rest of the players on the team or even who went out for the team, he didn't have any hands like the rest of his teammates, but he did what he could do with what he had. And what's interesting, there are probably some people that they were thinking about going out for the team, and they were probably better basketball players than Jamarion and anybody else on the team, but they didn't use those three success principles. Start from where you're at. Use what you have access to right now and do what you can with what you do have right now. And, of course, you heard Jamarion when he finally got in the game. He scored 2 buckets. I don't know if they were 3-pointers, but they were at least worth 4 points with the 2 buckets, bare minimum. So I think we can all learn something from Jamarion with using those three success strategies, particularly if it looks like you're in an impossible situation or a very challenging situation. That's all right. Start with where you are. Use whatever resources that you might have and do what you can with those resources.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't, lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he can fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come. Thank you.
because I used to observe that a lot of those shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there looking for jobs, that's usually why we move, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that if you, sometimes you are right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing
that
as you're driving.
That is true.
Down a super highway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build little shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out, took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know that know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done. Coming along, I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. They would get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised because I used to observe that a lot of those shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there looking for jobs, that's usually why we move, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that if you, sometimes you are right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing as you're driving.
That is true.
Down a super highway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build little shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out, took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know that know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done. Coming along, I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. They would get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? They were excellent, solid houses that could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them, and there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and beg, because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their.
Okay, I had to call into my own show. The blog, I mean, Blog Talk's weird sometimes. There's a special number that the host called into, but the phone got disconnected on that number from the Blog Talk board, but if you read the board, I'm still logged in as the host. But I couldn't do anything. I couldn't hear the show. So, or any, you know, any audios. So I had to call in like everybody else on the 619-768-2945 number. And then I had to press one like everybody else. So that's how, cause I can't call in on a host number because the host, it only allows for one host at a time. So that number is still plugged in, and we're still going. But anyway, so that's what happened. So today's podcast is titled Tribes, Tribalism, and Identity Marketing, or you can even call it Tribal Marketing. I've been, for the last week, it's been about, let's see, 9 days now. 8-9 days. All right. I've been doing on and off marketing with some properties here. So now I'm noticing, because originally I was marketing for a backyard, and then discovered another market that I had never marketed to before. They came to me. People with trailers, because I talked to a friend of mine yesterday. She's been on here probably about three times, and I learned some distinctions, which I mentioned some of those yesterday. You know, you have people with mobile homes, but there's several distinctions of that. You can have a RV, recreational vehicle, that's motorized. That's one distinction of a mobile home. Then you can have a single wide or a double wide. Those are classically known as mobile homes because they bring them in. They were never motorized. They had wheels on them, and then after they bring them to the location, they tuck the wheels away or whatever. That's it. So there's single wide, double wides. Then there's fifth wheels. Then there's trailers and campers. You know what? I wrote down some of the notes that she told me yesterday, but I'll probably have her come on. Give me a day, because I got to get visuals on all this. I'm still working on that. All right, so. And there's zoning with all that. So I'm looking at, you know what? Oh, and I had two appointments set up for yesterday. Nobody showed. Now, the thing is, they didn't call or text either. So I'm looking at, because I guess I'm kind of spoiled when I come to my marketing. But I'm looking at, you know what? I've got to adjust my marketing, and because not only in the United States, but globally, people identify by tribe. Now, most people are members of different tribes, because you can be a part of a tribe based on language as a common denominator. You can identify by skin tone as a common denominator. You know, that's another type of tribe. Sometimes that doesn't translate, because you've gotten, just as an example, you've gotten some African Americans who, in the United States, they identify and belong, at least in the United States, you know, the black, so-called black tribe, not all, but a lot. But when they go over to Africa, where people that have the exact same skin tone don't identify by color, so that's not their tribe. They're not a part of the black tribe. It's just like, you know, occasionally you might see on a talk show or something like that, somebody from, they could be from Africa, they could be from the Dominican Republic or Costa Rica or someplace like that, or Haiti. And they might say, and they can be charcoal black, and they say, I'm not black. But then you'll have an African American that says, you are black. But we're talking about two different people from two different cultures, two different tribes. All right. So a lot of people, like I say, most people are members of multiple tribes. Okay. So, you know, you just have to, you have to know what tribe that you're marketing to, and then, you know, line up the pieces of the puzzle so you can hit that tribe. Because I'm thinking, now, the thing is, when you market online to a high degree, you can neutralize your tribe if you're thinking strictly about business. Most of the people that, well, you know what, let me give an example of somebody that you all know. Well, not all know, but some of you know. Viata, who's on here every now and then, Soul Purpose Healing. For 4 or 5 years, I think five, Viata, who's originally from Chicago, and most people would identify her as African-American. She might not do that, but most people that look at her in this country would identify her as African-American. In some place like Costa Rica or Dominican Republic or Colombia or even Africa, she will be identified by other people by something else. But she lived in a community. I would call it, some would call it a mobile home community. Some would call it a minimalist community. See, there are different ways that you can label this stuff. But she had a tiny house. She owns a tiny house, and she lived in 160, either 160 or 168 square foot tiny house. She's even written a book about it in this community. I went out there a couple of times to check it out. But the rest of the homes in that community were essentially classical mobile homes. Okay. And she was the only, five consecutive years, the only black person that lived in that mobile home community. Now, she did mention to me that there was one other black person that was there for a short period of time, but he was a black person who was staying within a white household. But as far as ownership, she was the only black owner of, I think they had like 11 homes in that location. She was the only black owner out of those in that particular mobile home community. All right, and like several places, it's a tiny house. It's not a classical single. It's not a single wide. It's not down a double wide or whatever. She had a totally different design. I mean, you see her. It was unique from every other place in there. So, now I was talking to a friend of mine last night that I went to college with, and he was telling me about his experience with tribalism. And as I share this story with you, don't get it confused with racism, because racism has nothing to do with it. I'm looking at it as straight-up tribalism. He was selling cable back in the early 80s, I believe. Early, maybe mid-80s, somewhere in that time period. And he had gotten a spot at Walmart. And he wasn't making that many sales, so what he did was he partnered up. Now, he's what we call black, okay, here in the United States. Later, he partnered up with what we call here in the United States a white person. When he partnered up with the white person, his sales zoomed. And sometimes there will be a line of people waiting to get orders from the white person selling the exact same product as him, their partners. 10 or 11 people deep, my friend Milt, and Milt's been on here a few times, he might have two people. So the reason why I'm not saying racism is because people around the world, including here in the United States, at least from my point of view, were tribal. People do business with, people have a tendency to socialize with, make friends with, people that look like them or have another common denominator with them. That common denominator could be language. Two different races, two different colors, but the common denominator that might link people together might be language. It could be religion. It could be some type of hobby. It could be a profession. It could be a preference. It could be a sexual preference. It could be a lifestyle preference. It could be, I mean, they got foodies out here. People that, you know, they just love to, food is their thing. That could be the common denominator. Two different races, fat and skinny. But they could be the best of friends, and their common denominator that brought them together to be BFFs, best friends forever, could be food. For some people, it could be housing. You know, other people, you know, a professional, whatever. So most of us, we belong to multiple tribes. You know, multiple tribes. So what I'm trying to, well, not trying to, but in the process of figuring out is, okay, I've got a 4-acre tract of land in northern Florida. Oh, you know what? Hold on. Before I even get to that, before I get to my tribe, because I got to figure out which tribe or tribes shall I market to. Because if you get the common denominator right with the particular tribe that you're going for, you can hit a bullseye if you know how to market online, and you can sell out within a matter of minutes. Actually, I would say in a matter of hours, to be fair about it. Within 12 to 24 hours, whatever you're selling, you'll be able to sell out relatively quick. You know the tribe that you're marketing to, or the identity, or how they identify. All right. So, in any event, here's another thing. Because my marketing wasn't hitting and holding like I was expecting it to. Okay. Because I'm looking at, you know, who's showing up. If nobody's showing up, okay, I've got to do something to adjust. So I'm in the adjustment phase on my tribal marketing. And I wasn't even thinking in terms of tribes when I originally took out the marketing. Anyway, here's another thing that really pushed the envelope for me. I know of, now, this 4-acre tract of land I have, it's in a rural area, and it's semi-remote, but you can get an internet signal there. You can work remotely there. It's near two major interstates, I-10 and I-75. If you need to get to Walmart, I mean, a state park, which incredible natural resources, about like a 5 or 10 minute drive away. If you need to get to Walmart, church, in town, anything that you can do, it's there. Within, I would say, a 15-minute drive, maybe sometimes a 20-minute drive. But the actual location, it's you know, hey, man, it's rural. So it's real quiet, and your neighbors, you know, you have to go on the fringes of the property to maybe see one part of one or two of the neighbors' tracks. And all of them, everybody's got 4 or more acres around this 4-acre tract of land. Anyway, but I was looking at, oh, and I think it'll be a great place for people that are micro campers of any type that'll go there. But I'm thinking, you know what, I need to market towards a specific tribe to really sell this place out quick. In any event, when it comes to mobile homes, there are three African-American channels that I watch. And I've noticed something about them. Matter of fact, one of the host of one of the channels, I've had her on here at least once, and then I've been on one of her things at least once myself. But these people, they're teaching people how to earn money with mobile homes. Now, one of these three people I know personally. Offline, I know personally. And in their videos, they don't mention any, I mean, it's strictly how you can make money with mobile homes. They don't do anything political. The topic of race never comes up. None of that. It's strictly business. And the person person I know, she's in business with her brother. And then the other two black couples, well, they're black couples. But what I've noticed in their videos, overwhelmingly, if not 100%, it's above 95%, particularly of the people that they have been meeting and interviewing offline with testimonials, are black. Now, I know these, they'll take anybody who wants to, you know, do it. But, and the late Fred Price even mentioned it several years ago, that he would get invited to a church that happened to be a predominantly, and everything went well. But when he invited that same white pastor that invited him to speak at a white church, overwhelmingly, the white pastors, and we're talking about prominent televangelists, for some reason, couldn't make it to Crenshaw Christian Center in Los Angeles, California. Now, there probably could have been some exceptions with that. I'm just telling you, Fred Price spoke on this. He later wrote a series, wrote a book series, and did a series called Race, Racism, and Religion. But, and I'm not knocking Fred Price first, because I still am a big Fred Price fan. But I'm looking at it, once again, is tribalism. And there's nothing wrong, in my opinion, with tribalism. But when it comes to marketing, you need to know what tribe that you're marketing to. Because once again, and people can disagree with me, and I'm open to ideas, everybody belongs to one or more. Actually, I believe everybody belongs to several tribes, just the nature of life. Just me, myself. You know, I'm interested in the German language. I've lived over in Germany. So I got a German tribe that I belong to. Okay? I got some, you know, Latino friends. Well, and I'm learning how to, I'm also working on Spanish. So I got a Spanish tribe I go to. All right. I got friends that like to go to the Dominican Republic. Well, I got some, I belong to a Dominican tribe. I got a whole gang of people that live in Brazil or visit Brazil that are originally from the United States. They're African American to a large degree. So I've got that tribe that does Brazil, you know. Same thing with Colombia. Same thing with China. Same thing with Philippines. So Ukraine. So I belong to different tribes, you know, when it comes to spiritual things. You know, I belong to, because I believe you can get spiritually fed in different places. So I belong to, probably about five or six tribes that way. All right. But the tribe that I'm trying to penetrate now would be, because once again, once you know your tribe, and I'll be making some phone calls today because some of the people that I belong to their tribe, they can tell me how can I address that tribe, and then how can I, like, for instance, I was speaking to Viata this morning, and she helped me like, she said, there's a lot of people that, due to this pandemic, are falling upon hard times financially. So, you know, that they might have to, downsize. And I'll probably have to address people that are downsizing. In other words, where can I find people that are downsizing? Okay, there might be some people that are facing foreclosure or eviction. You know, how can I find, because that's a tribe too. And I've had people call me in dire straits. And I'm going to be calling some of those people back. Most of those people that have called me in dire straits, they've rebounded, but they know people that have reached dire straits. So, and sometimes those people, their budget, because basically we're talking about off-grid communities. Another, this is a huge tribe. People, and there's a lot of subdivisions with subgroups within this tribe, intentional communities, and there are thousands of them around the globe. So I'll be looking at, and I'll be speaking to people, because that's what I'll probably have to do with this 4-acre tract of land. I'm going to probably have to set it up as an intentional community, because that was going to be a de facto intentional community anyway, but now I'm more conscious of it. So I'm going to have to direct my marketing towards people that would like to live in this type of intentional community. And there's a few ways to go about that. All right, before we go to the phone lines here, I'm about to play an audio that I played on here before, but what you're going to hear on here are people that were forced to become minimalist, and then they ended up in a rural area on 2 or 3 acres of land.
Imagine living in a space that...
All right, you know what? I think I did that whole rant with my mic off. Oh, man. Okay. We're talking about tribes, tribalism, and identity marketing. Oh, wait a minute. I'm tripping. You know what? Yeah, I'm tripping. Okay. I was looking at my host mic. Okay. You heard me. Let me play this audio and then mute out the mic I'm on.
Imagine living in a space that measures a mere 168 square feet, more than 14 times smaller than the average American home. Well, it is here inside this tiny house where the proud owners are discovering that less is so much more.
Well, in the past year, we've managed to save everything that I earn. We use my husband's income for our living expenses, and I've been teaching public school, so that's about $3,000 a month that we've put in the bank this year.
Hari, her husband Carl, and their two young kids, Archer and Ella, recently celebrated their one-year anniversary in their tiny house. After losing their 1,500-square-foot home to financial struggles, the couple took matters into their own hands, literally. They built this space themselves with just $13,000 in materials. Their goal? To become debt-free and save enough to one day build a new home, mortgage-free. And so far, they're right on track.
Things are going really well with the next project. We're going to build a 16 by 24 unit to begin with, and then we'll branch off of that and add bedrooms.
You may remember seeing this family on The Anderson Show earlier this year, where I joined them on stage. Fascinated by their story, our financially fit team flew down to Virginia to see for ourselves and learn ways we can all downsize.
How are you?
Hey,
really good.
Hey there. Living in the tiny house has taught me that we don't need much at all to be happy, and that getting the things that we need can actually be a lot of fun.
Can you get me a bowl and some scissors?
The family's fruit and vegetable garden lets them eat healthier, cut down on their carbon footprint, and slash their grocery bill by as much as 30%. Hari has also been upcycling, as she calls it, taking something old and breathing new life into it.
My favorite upcycling project was the rugs I made for the house. I took old sheets, flat sheets, and crocheted them into rugs. They're beautiful, and they fit the house a lot nicer than if we had gone and bought something new from the store.
The couple also recently switched jobs, not for more money, but more happiness. Carl is enjoying better working conditions at a new restaurant, and Hari left teaching to pursue a career in nonprofit. Being able to afford a career that you love and pursuing a passion rather than a paycheck, they've learned, is just an added benefit to having savings and no debt.
I'm probably taking a 25 to 30% cut in my salary, which is going to enable me to have more time to actually build the house and save money because I'll be the contractor.
It's really a great feeling to be able to make a decision like that, not based on money, but based on what we want to be doing with our time.
The kids also seem keen to the transition. Mom and Dad are happy to report fewer requests for video games or toys now that Ella and Archer are busy playing outdoors on their 3-acre property.
We play down by the creek and up at the big tree up there where the swing is. We play with our neighbors and ride bikes.
There's a lot of different things they can do with their time besides play with plastic toys and get online.
They've really just embraced it wholeheartedly. You can't stop them from having a good time outside.
Still another lesson, when you downsize, it helps to have a support system.
There's such a wealth of knowledge in our community, and that helps us a lot. And having that support makes it like we're doing it together. Moving to the country has given us a lot of things, not just the tiny house.
So, what do you think? What are your thoughts about living in a tiny house? Would you ever do it? Connect with me on Twitter at Farnoosh and use the hashtag FinFit for Yahoo Finance. I'm Farnoosh Tarabi.
Okay, so that's an example of a family that they were living on what I call the grid, and they were forced to downsize. They were forced. They were on the grid tribe, but then they became minimalist, not voluntarily at first. They became minimalist, and they joined the tiny house movement tribe. They went from a city environment, okay, an urban environment, to a rural environment. They went from a city lot to, 2 or 3 acres of land. They went from, having somebody, they went from a turnkey situation to they had to learn how to build their own housing. DIY, ultimate DIY people, do-it-yourself people. So in the process, here's another tribe. As you heard, that the wife, now she works, she banks her whole paycheck on a monthly basis, and they live off the husband's salary. That's another tribe. So, it's all of us belong to more than one tribe. Okay. Here's another example before we go to the phone lines.
How'd it go?
We got one out of two of them motherfuckers, you know?
You mean you motherfuckers come strolling in here all walking tall and shit?
Look, yeah, man, I'm saying, man, we was blazing on them dudes, man, you know what I'm saying? Just got in the heat, man. We was blazing, though. It was late.
All right, relax, man. I already heard. Go sit down. I'm not tweaking behind none of this. That's one less motherfucker that's breathing than was yesterday, you know what I'm saying? So we all good. But I'm surprised at you, though, man. Shit didn't get by you back when.
Well, my man's fault, man. I unloaded on the younger too soon, man. Gave him enough room to buck and run, man. I fucked that shit up myself, you know.
Hold on. It's on me. I had that kid in my sights. Close enough to take off his Kango and half his dome with it. Couldn't squeeze the trigger. Couldn't do it, man.
Why not?
Wasn't in me, I guess. You know, whatever it is in you that lets you flow like you flow and do that thing, it ain't in me no more.
All right. So you done soldiering, but you ain't done. Could use you for what you got in your head. We're going to put you on a corner. You could be inside.
Oh, man. I ain't making myself clear. The game ain't in me no more. None of it.
But you ain't done shit else. You know what I'm saying? So what you gonna do?
I don't know. But it can't be this.
All right, then. We straight.
Man in his time, you know?
Yeah. He a man today. He a man.
Now, that was from the TV show The Wire. Cuddy, ex-convict, did 16 years in prison for murder, got out of prison, picked up his job as an assassin again, which was part of, he was working for a drug kingpin in Baltimore. That was the tribe that Cuddy was in. But Cuddy, he decided, you know what? I don't want to be a part of this tribe anymore. That's what that scene was all about. He joined another tribe after that.
Did you prime it? That little rubber ball right there next to the spark plug. Got to push it in 3 times before you try to start it. Gets the gas going to the car.
You want the truth? I ain't never used one of these. Never had no call to.
Yeah, well, I didn't pick you up for your landscaping skills. All these Spanish, they on paper too. Only use people like y'all. Sometimes it comes back on me, sometimes it works out fine.
Well, how long you been uptown?
10 years.
Hotter than a motherfucker out here.
Yeah, it's hot. Every day. You're going to be riding in the back of that hard truck, bouncing around. Every day. And your back's going to be yelling at you. Every day. I used to drive an SL. Pretty gold convertible. Nice rims. I don't even think on that car no more.
You put it behind you, huh?
Some can't. I'm just saying, you want to stay on the straight. Ain't going to be no big reward to it. This is it, right here. Prime that bitch 3 times. She'll start right up.
All right, that was Cuddy. Cuddy left one tribe, and he got a legitimate day labor job. Now, the guy that he was speaking to was the guy who owned the landscaping company. And him and Cuddy, they had a common denominator. They were both African-Americans. They were both Baltimoreans. They were both dead time and liked the big fancy cars and all that. They were both part of that tribe, left that tribe, and now their common denomination, the tribe that they belong to now, is landscaping. And as you heard Cuddy say, because the guy had to teach him how to prime it up, because as Cuddy said, and Cuddy was in his late 20s or early 30s in this role, he said he never had no call to use a lawnmower before. So anyway, they're part of this new tribe. Most of, matter of fact, all of Cuddy's co-workers, when he became a landscaper, were Latinos. And Cuddy, what's the word I'm looking for, assimilated partly into that tribe, which he started to learn Spanish. All right. And then later on, Cuddy decided that he wanted to be an entrepreneur, and he legitimately opened up a gym. But in order to open up that gym, he reached into some other tribes, like an ex-girlfriend who introduced him to her pastor, not pastor, one of the deacons in her church. So he had gotten to that tribe. He got into the school system. So Cuddy entered, you know, depending on what he needed to do legitimately, Cuddy was a member of five or six different tribes just in the wire. And we're all like that. You know, it all depends what you want to do. So nothing wrong with tribes. In your marketing, you need to be aware of your tribes. What tribe are you trying to reach? All right. Then there's some people that are fiercely loyal to their tribe. I call that tribalism. All right. Some people might confuse it. Well, you know what? It all depends on the situation and the person. Because, you know, some people, you know, they're gung-ho on their tribe and they don't want to deal with any other tribe. And you know what, really, as long as you're not harming anybody, you know, what's wrong with that? And it's all part of identity marketing. Okay, so at least that's the way I'm looking at it. In any event, like I say, what I'm shooting for is, and like I said, I'll make some calls today because I'm gonna be calling one person that is a big influencer within her tribe, and because I believe some of the people that are in her tribe. Matter of fact, not believe, some of the people that are in her tribe, they're hurting for housing, particularly affordable housing. So, I'm going to call her up and, tell her, you know, here's my situation. And then how can we make people aware of these housing opportunities within my tribe, and then get some of your people in your tribe to at least come take a tour of what we have available in a rural area. Okay. And then I'll probably, you know, Viotta brought up some, because Viotta's right. One of the tribes I'm also going to have to hit are people that, you know, matter of fact, a lady called me last week and said she's almost homeless. She's in a place now, but that's how she opened up. She's almost homeless. So she's in a tribe, but I'm going to see if I can, and I've talked to her about two or three times since last week. I'm going to see, you know, what common denominator the common denominators that she's dealing with, and see if we can do business some kind of way. So that's the way we will hit that. Okay, we'll be back momentarily. Oh, no, we're not playing that again. Let's go to this, and then we'll come to you.
Rockefeller's on the spot.
Man, that's him right there in that G35, man.
Wearing a retro?
That shit is tight.
$430, it better be.
Hell yeah. I'm going to get me one of those motherfuckers.
You must going to get that Muxie Bowls, then. Little mini-me ass going to be swimming in that sale.
As usual, man, y'all fools are missing my point. That boy came up short on that money last week, and y'all see he out here grinding. So where that money at?
You need to look beyond what he's driving and wearing on his back. That boy got a girlfriend?
He went with this little freak up at the high school.
She wearing ice?
She wearing an onion. That's about all I can remember.
Hell yeah.
Yo, check out the girl. High school girl with platinum around her neck. Only one place it came from.
Give my man this thing. Sig Sauer. That ain't no Larkin, dog.
Used to revolvers, man. 38 don't jam.
Don't hold 15 neither.
Game done changed.
Game the same. Just got more feds.
Thank you.
All right, today's topic once again is tribes, tribalism, and identity marketing. 619-768-2945. It just ran across me. We covered this maybe earlier this week, I think, with e-commerce. You got a lot of Americans. Actually, you got a lot of people around the globe that are very proficient at e-commerce marketing. Let me see if I can find something for you.
Hey, my friends, what's going on? It's your boy, Cater, on a beautiful, beautiful day, my friend. So in this video today, guys, I'm going to be talking about how to make $500 to $1,000 a day just spending 10 minutes on Craigslist. Now, this is a video. I did a video previously before. I talk about four strategies to make $1,000 a day. I kind of talk about the strategy, but I got a lot of feedback from that video. A lot of people wanted to see how would it be done. How do I do it? I kind of say it, but in this video today, I just want to show you exactly how to do it. So I'm going to jump into the computer, and I'm going to show you the process. This is something easy that anybody could do if you have the tools to actually make it happen. So make sure you watch this video to the end. Leave your feedback down below. Let me know what you think. Again, if it's your first time on my channel, don't forget to click the subscribe button below and subscribe to the channel. Turn on notifications so you can always receive my videos when I drop them, because I make content like this all the time to help you create income online and change your life. Definitely, if you're a new subscriber, leave a comment down below. Tell me that I'm new so that I can welcome
14 billion.
Once again, today we're going to switch to I found the videos, audios I was looking for. Today's podcast is Tribes, Tribalism, and Identity Marketing. All right, one common denominator of reaching your particular tribe is they're online. The market that I'm looking for, they're online. We know this. So in today's world, that's one of the common denominators. I'm going to play something that I played early in the week about Singles Day. Singles Day comes, that's like a national holiday, a de facto national holiday in China, comes up next month. It's the biggest, thus far, it's the biggest selling day on the planet. It dwarfs Black Friday and what's the Monday after Black Friday? I forgot what they call that. But they grow, well, you know what, I'll let the audio explain how much they gross. And but they know which tribes to go to, because it's the incredible amount of money that they're able to extract out of their tribes that they target within a matter of minutes.
$14 billion. That's how much Alibaba, the Chinese e-commerce giant, made in just 24 hours. That's more than the total online U.S. sales from both Black Friday and Cyber Monday combined. It happened during an unofficial Chinese holiday called Singles Day. But what is Alibaba? What is Singles Day? And how did they make so much money so quickly? Singles Day literally translates to Bear Sticks Holiday, a reference to the Chinese expression bear branches. The expression refers to bachelors who aren't adding branches to the family tree. Now, all of this is rooted in China's one-child policy. Implemented between 1978 and 1980, it was intended to curb the country's overpopulation problem, but the policy had unintended blowback. China now has a massive gender imbalance. By 2020, it's projected that men will outnumber females by at least 30 million, hence Singles Day. From this national turmoil, the unofficial holiday was born at this university. It's a day that was initially meant for single men to party with other single friends. Though, fast forward to 2009, Alibaba CEO Daniel Zhang sees a business opportunity to co-opt the unofficial holiday in an attempt to drum up more online sales. In China, spikes in shopping sales were common in late September before China's National Day, and again in the first 2 months of the year before the Spring Festival. Those two retail polls created a lull in late autumn, which Alibaba hoped to exploit with deep price cuts. And it worked.
Seeing the potential of Alibaba's move, most Chinese retailers jumped on board the next year. Now, Singles Day has become the biggest shopping day in the entire world, and it looks like it's just going to get even bigger.
Okay, let's go to the next audio. Where is it? Here we go.
Austin Li Jiaqi is a 27-year-old beauty advisor turned live streamer and one of the top influencers in China. He once sold 15,000 lipsticks in only 5 minutes and has a following of 42.1 million fans on Douyin. Each month, he earns over $150,000. This was made possible because of live streaming e-commerce, a rising trend in China. In addition to making stars out of streamers like Li Jiaqi, it's driving billions of sales to e-commerce platforms. So how does it work? Generally speaking, it has similarities to traditional TV shopping. Products are showcased by hosts and sold at discount prices. But with live streaming, there's added real-time interaction. This allows audiences to ask questions about products, which streamers can directly answer. Things sold by live streamers include just about anything. Things like coats, lipsticks, a Maserati, an apartment, and even a rocket launch service. So this begs the question, what makes live streaming and e-commerce a good match? Live streaming entered China in 2015 and quickly gained popularity. By June 2019, the number of live streaming users reached 433 million, making up over 50% of Chinese internet users. Initially, live streaming was mostly for entertainment and socialization. But in 2016, Alibaba launched Taobao Live, adding a live streaming feature to the e-commerce platform. The aim was to entice users to spend more time on Taobao, and the strategy worked. During Singles Day 2019, users who watched live streaming spent an average of 53 minutes on Taobao, twice as much as those who didn't.
即使是在线上交易或体验的时候，还是会无限的去追求这个体验接近于线下的，无论是说被人服务的这种感觉，然后交互的这种速度，还有这种信息量上，那其实直播都是更符合那个趋势的。
Taobao Live now has over 400 million cumulative users and exceeded a GMV of 28.3 billion last year. And it got another boost due to the coronavirus outbreak. Since physical stores were forced to stay closed during the pandemic, brand owners turned to live streaming to sell their products. Compared with January, the number of merchants that use Taobao Live increased by 719% in February. In fact, sales driven by the top two Taobao streamers, Via and Li Jiaqi, have already exceeded most physical stores. During Singles Day 2019, Via sold 2.7 billion yuan worth of products within 24 hours, with Li Jiaqi also selling over 1 billion. Due to their influence, top streamers hold great bargaining power over suppliers. This allows them to get products at the lowest price and helps attract more customers. Apart from full-time streamers, e-commerce live streaming also provided opportunities for farmers and small business owners. According to Kuaishou, over 19 million users have sold products on the platform by 2019, and 5 million of them are living in poor areas. In many cases, becoming a successful live streamer isn't something one can simply pick up. Most streamers are involved with MCNs, or multi-channel networks. These are talent incubators that train talent and offer assistance for growing fan base and connecting with brands. But very few of them can reach the level of Li Jiaqi and Via. The top live streamers contribute to more sales than those at the bottom. E-commerce companies are also looking toward live streaming for growth. JD.com, Pinduoduo, and Moguo are among the e-commerce companies to launch live stream features in recent years, while Kuaishou and Douyin also plan on becoming significant players in the market. On April 1st, Luo Yonghao, the charismatic founder of smartphone brand Smartisan, made his live stream debut on Douyin. He sold more than $15.5 million worth of goods in 3 hours. This partnership has marked Douyin's ambitions to challenge the incumbent leader Taobao Live. Live streaming e-commerce has also made its way outside of China. In Southeast Asia, Shopee and Alibaba-owned Lazada have also added live streaming to their platforms. So will live streaming change the e-commerce scene in China and the rest of the world? It remains to be seen, but there are some promising signs.
If you like this video, hit the like and subscribe buttons.
If you're interested in learning more about China's tech scene, visit Creatia.com using the link in the description below.
All right, today we're talking about tribes, tribalism, and identity marketing, or tribal marketing. And I believe, now, if you listen to the incredible, I mean, though, these people, to generate that type of sales, I mean, with, hold it, how many did this guy sell in, let's play at the beginning of this over with, because he knows his
Austin Li Jiaqi is a 27-year-old beauty advisor turned live streamer and one of the top influencers in China. He once sold 15,000 lipsticks in only 5 minutes and has a following of
15,000 lipsticks. This is a dude. He sold 15,000 lipsticks in, how many minutes?
Austin Li Jiaqi is a 27-year-old beauty advisor turned live streamer and one of the top influencers in China. He once sold 15,000 lipsticks in only 5 minutes and has a following
15,000 lipsticks in 5 minutes. Same internet as everybody that's on this line right now. Now, I'll probably play, and I've played that video several times just offline to myself. I'm going to listen to it with, because I'm listening for like little distinctions, because this guy knows his tribe. Now, he's like all of us, he's a member of several different tribes, but in order to sell 15,000 of anything within 5 minutes, you've got to know that particular tribe, where they are, what they like, what they do. You got to have it priced right in order to sell that many. I think here's another video where he's featured as well.
His name is Li Jiaqi, her name is Via. They are top two live streamers of Chinese online shopping apps. These two guys, they made a combined sales of $400 million in just 1 day. That's equivalent to the revenue of 10 Macy's stores in a year. This is...
Okay, same guy, Austin Li and Lee, and Via, that's her internet name. Her brand name, but those two along and there are other streamers throughout China. They're just two of them. But 400 million in a day. Now, I don't know if that was an 8-hour day or a 24-hour day. I don't know. But either way, 400 million in online confirmed sales is very, very real. Now, they work with a team. Each one of them has their own team. But you know what? Hold it. You know, let me change out that word team. Each one of them has a tribe, and that e-commerce tribe intimately knows the tribe or tribes that they're selling to. How else could they take in that amount of cash within a day? Was it an 8-hour day? Let's put it at a 24-hour day. You know what? Hold it. Let's be realistic here. Because I'm sure they didn't stay up 24 hours to do that. So let's put it at an 8-hour day. That's 200 million piece. Now, they didn't do it by themselves. Once again, they have their own e-commerce tribe that they knew the tribe, or in this case, tribes, because you're not going to pull that out of one tribe in that short period of time. But they knew the tribes that they were selling to. Now, you've got some people over here that are doing some very impressive things. One of my YouTubers is, what is she? Is she Dominican? Well, culturally, she's Dominican, married to a black American dude. She's a seamstress. And right here in the USA, I think she's in the state of Maryland. And, man, talk about, she started off at a flea market, people. And now she's moved into, it might be her third home, her and her family. She's got a young family. But she's got a rack of machines. They turned the garage and the basement portion, plus the basement portion of their house, into a factory. She's got a lot of machines, and they're just constant. I mean, they got it going on. Straight up, a real factory. She manufactures or makes manufactures clothes for infants, little kids. But she sells a lot e-commerce wise because once again, she knows her tribe. She herself is a young mother. She has two young children. I think one's an infant. Another one might be 3 years old, about 3 years old now. And the women that she's selling to are all identify the common denominator that she sells to are parents, particularly women, particularly young mothers, just like her. And she'll get on YouTube Live. She'll interact with them. She'll take their orders live online. And you can see her in her garage. And you see her husband going in and out the room, you know, to the basement part, which they converted into, they got inventory there and, you know, orders going out. And then you see them, she might do another live stream where they're going to the post office, the UPS or FedEx, to mail out the fulfilling the orders. Sometimes she'll do a live stream just to take orders. She might get 100 orders in less than an hour. She's selling to a tribe because her tribe, number one, let's look at some common denominators here. Number one, and I got to remember this, what I do with that 4 acres of land. Number one, her tribe is young mothers. All of them can identify with her because you see her kids going in and out. You see her husband helping out, going in. They have a family business. That's another tribe that she belongs to. Then you have people that are learning how to sew, embroidery, because she does a lot of that. That's another tribe. Then you got your e-commerce. How does she fulfill her orders? That's another tribe. So this young lady's got, she's a member of quite a few tribes. But she puts, like I said, I've watched her. I've sat up there and watched her take 100 orders in an hour, in less than an hour. American woman, and she used to be a security guard. That's how she met her husband. Now she's I don't know what you would call her, a baby clothes entrepreneur or seamstress entrepreneur or whatever. I don't know what the title of that, or e-commerce maven, whatever it is, whatever tribe that is, Her family is balling. And she's in her 20s. Husband might be in his 30s, but they're balling. But they know their tribe. All part of identity marketing or what have you. So, because I'm looking at, all right, the 4 acres, I'm going to have to identify, they really speed things up the way I want them to go. Is identify our tribe and then do some collaborations so when we go online, we're able to eventually hit some of these numbers. Maybe not the numbers that Austin and Villa are doing. And they've got people that hit those high numbers of 200 million, 200 to 400 million in a day, they're doing a lot of collaboration. They're doing a lot of collaboration with people within their tribe or tribes, okay? And we're going to probably dedicate, you know, at least 1 or 2 days out of the month for that because that's where the ball is and it's going to continue to go. Let me see. Somebody just sent me something that's relating to what we're talking about today. All right, that's just, wait a minute. No, I just think that's a thumbs up on what we're talking about today. Robin, Robin, you're a member of many tribes. Robin, anything you want to contribute if you're around? If not, we'll move on. Oh, here we go. Okay, Robin. What's up? And good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone. And I agree it a tribe, a community, a family. You can't do it alone.
Nope.
And you know we got into this me, I'm going to get mine, you get your situation, but you know you did not come into this world alone.
Nope.
You did not. And you actually will not leave this world alone either. You're going to return back to,
right.
You know, okay, so people need to, you know, people say, I don't want to be bothered with nobody else. I don't trust nobody. But it does take a village. And when you look at the successful communities, look at the reigning communities, if you will. Look at the Queen of England and how long that system has reigned.
Oh, centuries with that one. And you know what?
That's a drive.
Bottom line, with the Duke system and the Earl system, from generation to generation, from century to century, and that's a tribe. What you just talked about, the throne of England is a tribe.
Yes. So
straight up tribe.
When you work together, and it's a prize, I really honestly believe that every community, every class, every family, every group, whatever you tribe, I think that each one has amongst its members and itself sufficient. To whatever that environment is going to need, okay?
Right.
And you and I, just you and I, have proven that over and over and over and over again, okay?
Well, one tribe, because Robin, you belong to several tribes. One of the tribes that you belong to, because you have a long day, You get up earlier than I do. And I get up early. Matter of fact, when I get up, anyway, that's another story. But the Hilltop podcast and radio show on Blog Talk that with your,
oh yeah,
I guess you're the executive producer for that too. What I'm amazed at when I listen to that show, it's because I've called into that show 3 times, and I couldn't get in. So I'm looking at there's he's got a lot of that tribe. You know,
mm-hmm.
How did he put it together? How did you guys put it together? Because it's a well listened to podcast.
DJ Sean, I've only been there a year, and it's 11 years old with 12 and 3 episodes now. He put all that together. He has a great gift of networking.
Mm-hmm.
And not only does he network, but he connects people. He connects the dots so that everybody can be better in their music, in their production, in their money making, in whatever. He was also a college sports referee.
Okay.
So he has this uncanny ability to assess the situation, you know, reach out and contact people and pull people together. And I mean, and I've seen him call people live while we're on the air. He could dial out from the switchboard and call people in. Hey, called Joe Cotton from the Platters. Hey, Joe, what you doing? Oh, man, I'm just sitting here with my wife. Well, we're here on live on the Hilltop Radio Show. You got a few minutes to hang with us? Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's just amazing to be able to do that.
Right.
The one that goes, ow, in Cameo? Yeah, he was on our show. Just a couple of weeks ago, a few near weeks ago.
Larry Blackman?
Yes.
Okay.
So the celebrity, the radio, and then also we have topics on there, you know, where we're able to discuss some real serious things. And then it's also like a continuing document, if you will, of artist documentation of independent artists in genres that don't get any promotion, or recognition in mainstream or anywhere else. And what's great about it is that you got your girl Robin Lynn here, who has managed to take an internet originating broadcasting, and we're broadcasting directly in mainstream media, alongside with CBS, BET, and all that. Okay.
Now let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
We're going overtime as we usually do. You've heard on an audio. What's your assessment? What would be your technical assessment of a person? You know these two. E-commerce people in China. Let's take the guy Austin Lee, where he sold 115,000 lipsticks in 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
What would be your assessment from a tribal level on how he did that? Just, you know, speculation.
from a tribal level on how he did it were word of mouth. And then everyone, well, usually, watch this. The Bible says what's in the heart comes out of the mouth. So that's why word of mouth is so effective, right? So usually, if other people are telling other people to, okay, get this, right, then that means that they are what? Getting it and using it themselves. That's how that works. Okay? You got to do what you say, what you're telling everybody else to do. But generally,
it's interesting that you said that, because I don't know if you watched any of his videos before. I have. One of the things, this is a dude, but one of the things that he does on a live stream, now this is a dude that sold 115,000 lipsticks on air.
Mm-hmm.
He also did over 200 million in a day, selling other things, including lipstick, is he will do a demonstration himself of putting the lipstick on.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him in videos on air, I mean on YouTube, doing that.
Yes.
He'll do a demonstration on himself with lipstick.
Yes. Yep. And then he syndicated. Though this is how he syndicated those videos. He put them on YouTube. He put them on webinars. And he conducted webinars and seminars. Okay?
Right.
And he probably had, okay, you know those Donald Trump seminars that you sign up for, but then when you sign up, the same thing for the Shark Tank. When you sign up and then you pay the money, and then you go there, and then it's not Donald Trump. It's just some people.
Right, somebody else, yeah.
Running it with just some literature and blah-de-blah. So that's probably how he did it. And you remember back in the day, them conferences was you know, even Colin Crew.
Yeah.
You want
right.
to get rich like me? Come to my seminar.
Yeah. Right, a lot of that going on.
Across to America, they have a seminar. They're rich like me. You want to get rich like me? Come to my seminar. Thomas Wu. Remember him?
Yeah, Tom Wu, I remember him, Well, you're making a good point. Now, with Vaya and this dude, Austin, they're not selling any business opportunities to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
During the live stream, they're selling product that people buy. However, within their tribe, they're doing collaborations through making sure those orders get fulfillment. So a lot of people are getting paid.
Correct.
You know, he and she, they're just the front people. You know, he might sell 115. He's the front man of selling that 115,000 lipsticks in 5 minutes.
He created that. Two, he's like what I created, my broadcasting system with monetization. He created
right.
that with the intent for people
right.
to get to, okay? And,
well,
and
Robin, you just broke down thinking about all last, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, but you've basically given me the solution, the way you just broke it down on essentially what I need or what we need to do, essentially we might not hit those numbers right away, but, you know, we'll hit significant numbers to be beyond sustainable within a brief amount of time. So, it'll be interesting to find out how many people that he has. And they got some videos on it. They, like I say, they have a tribe, but then they have other people. They have an inner tribe that helps put on the live stream, but then they have other tribes that are connected with that. They have sub-tribes, subgroup tribes, which are basically collaborating partners so they can get those orders out. Everybody from suppliers to delivery, customer service. Yeah, because they're not taking the you know, everybody gets paid and everybody gets happy. I mean, not
right.
gets happy, but they are happy.
Correct. And it's not, most people, when they create their business and operate their businesses, they don't think beyond themselves. They just
right.
think about profit, loss, you know, a profit. Let me make a profit. Let me work hard. Let me work harder, make a profit. And then they won't incorporate other people, a tribal approach, okay?
And I like
share
the way you
wealth.
Put that, a tribal approach.
Okay? Where many hands make light work. I mean, it's true, okay?
That's true.
And so you don't necessarily have to hire people. Maybe you can't afford to hire people, so you can contract out.
And that's what I'm sure those two are doing. They collaborations, partnerships. Okay.
Correct. So you know there are and then too, I'm going to say this. There are people that have a mindset of, I don't want to do that, whatever be that what it may. That
mm-hmm.
is just fine. You don't have to let that stop you from the opportunity, especially if it's going to make you money. Donald
right.
Trump, y'all might not like that man, but he said one of the wisest things I ever heard. And I heard him say it once, and when he said it, I remembered it. He said, and it was on his show when he was, you're fired or hired.
Oh, the apprentice.
Yeah,
apprentice.
Yes, sir. He said, I don't like to do everything. He goes, I don't want to do everything. I don't like to do everything. I don't even want to do everything. And he says, and so what I don't want to do or what I don't like to do, I hire someone to do it. I was like, oh, my God. And I was in the middle of being homeless when I heard that. And I
right.
said, I got a better advantage of him because he, in his mindset, he'll hire somebody to do it. That cost him money. Me, I'll use what I have. I ain't got no money, but I got my mouth. And God says, I have not because I ask not. So instead
right.
of me hiring somebody to do something that I don't know how to do, I can ask them to show me how to do it,
mm-hmm.
to teach me how to do it, or I can even ask them to do it. Okay? So somebody might say, well, I ain't got no money. If you are in the mindset of, I don't want to, I can't, yes, you can. If you don't want to, you can incorporate somebody else by dialogue,
right.
just with dialogue. Hey, I don't really like doing this. Oh, yeah, well, you know what? Hey, I'll do it for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then if they say, well, you know, you got to pay me something. Oh, I don't want to. Well, hey, you got to give up something, but don't pass up the opportunity to make money, okay?
Right.
For example, you're not living in a place, right, and you want to
mm-hmm.
sell it, right?
Right.
And so you go, and you don't want to be a landlord, okay? So you go, well, you know, you need to rent out the rooms and you need to blah, 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 blah. Well, I don't want to be a landlord. Okay, well, then you could sell out, rent your yard for RV space or whatever. Well, I
right.
don't want to do that. Well, then you could hire a Airbnb. Then you don't even have to do all that, and you can even let another Airbnb member be an administrator of all that and just you give them the instructions and blah, 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 and the money comes into your account, you know?
Right.
So for all those that have that mindset of I don't want to and I don't like to, just, and you got stuff that's sitting there stagnant, it's silly, especially if you are over 50, if you're over 60. Don't be stupid, man. Let your stuff
be through
it.
You know what, if you hit that milestone in life.
And enjoy your money. Spend your money. Travel. Enjoy yourselves. Okay? That's what you've been working for hard all your life now. So I'm just saying. Sorry.
But you got a lot of people, like I think I mentioned it yesterday or the day before yesterday. There was one video that I ran across on YouTube. The guy's 78 years old.
Yeah.
And he and his wife live in their truck. Now, I'm not knocking that, but I'm tying that into this thing on tribes and tribalism. I think in order to get out of that truck, if that's what you want to do, because I don't think his wife is too happy about doing that. Some are, some aren't. But many hands make like work, and many hands also make it easier for everybody to get a paycheck. So if you're at any age, I think you're right. Use the tribal approach, whatever you're doing. And because you know what? A lot of people who are struggling or ended up homeless or whatever are lone wolves. And what they need to do is some kind of way, well, like we've been seeing for the last couple of days, start where you are, use what kind of social capital you have, and then build it up where you can use the, well, once you hook up with one person, that's the start of the tribal approach. And then you can see, because I mean, just by listening to you today, I'm looking at, you know what? Last week, I was using the lone wolf approach. I was getting good numbers. Okay, I got like over 3,000 views, 25, 30. But that's just me as a lone wolf. Okay. I could have sold out some stuff had I used the tribal approach to Facebook Marketplace. So I'll be talking to you later on today, because from here on out, I'm using the tribal approach for social media marketing.
You already have been using the tribal approach. You just really haven't been mindful of it, that's all.
Well, because it took me 21 minutes and 7 seconds to place that, but what if I had two of them going on? And I'm not talking about me. I have a partner, and that partner, they do the same thing. Or if I had five, then we would, but you know what, so... You know, I think that we're going to have this at least on once a month, tribes, tribalism, and identity marketing, because a lot of people, they're struggling or they run into situations because they're operating as a lone wolf. Because that's all this. You don't sell 115,000 lipsticks in 5 minutes as a lone wolf. It's not going to happen. You know, the Nine Friends audio that I've played on here a gazillion times, you don't have a house that goes from whatever it looked like a war zone house to something that looks brand new within 10 to 12 hours. You don't do that as a lone wolf. All right? You got to put – and that's what that Nine Friends thing is. He called it friends.
Yep.
Well, let's update that. He called his tribe. And they got it done. So, I'm glad the way you broke that down, Robin. 314, mm-hmm. Your mic is open.
Man.
Yes, sir.
You guys go on at it. How
Hi.
You doing? Hi, Robin. How you doing?
I'm good.
I emailed you at 10:30 and said, Ellie, get your caller on, even be gone. You might have some ideas come from it that you can talk about.
You know what? I had to get in the habit starting today of checking that Gmail account every morning. Because
yeah.
That's the only way I got to be mindful to check it every morning. I've done that a teeny-weeny amount of times because you've given me some ideas, but I need to check it every morning because you're absolutely right. Because I was in the mood for, I need some ideas. So after this program, I'm going to immediately go back and check that.
But I was listening to the conversation, and I hear what, you know, this is going way back around 10 o'clock, maybe 9:45. Claude Anderson, what he's saying should be dissected, because what he's saying is really not possible. He's got too many variables in there. See, the one thing these people go wrong, like you talk about the little wolf, but you talk about the tribe. They act like Black America is one big tribe.
And we're
just
not
true.
You're right. You're right about
that's
it. We're not one big tribe.
That's where he saw that. And he said that.
Well, you know, Piyaki, not only him, but a lot of people like him, Umar Johnson. We can go on down the line on that one. People that are, you know, I'm not knocking reparations, but when people speak, when the pro-reparations crowd act like, and you're absolutely 100% right, the pro-reparations crowd, and I'm not knocking that, I mean, I'm not for it, but I'm not knocking that, but they speak like it's 100%, and it's not. We are not, you're not going to get 42 million people to be on the same page.
No, you're not. You include the 18. So if you take them out of there, you probably down to 32 million.
Easily.
Maybe. Then those that's over 45, now you down to probably 15 million, 20 million. Blacks think that they got a big population here. They don't have a big population here, effective population. And I tell you one thing that hurt that when Black women are born over 20 million babies in 30 years, well, that hurt it. And they still fight that. It's too much stuff going on. Let me look at and what you're talking about doing. If you get a dozen people to do that, that'd be a whole lot, I think.
I agree. And, you know, getting 12 people together ain't easy.
Hell no, unless you're going to feed them. And then when they get through, they're going to go to sleep on your conversation.
Even then.
You're going to be up there mad. You might turn into a mass killer.
I think, you know, I can do a lot with two or three people. But, the bigger the number, the more bureaucratic it can get.
You know what? You got a good idea, like I told you before. You build a house for about a resident for a single mother with two kids. That's the market. That I'm going back and forth. He texted my daughter. She got this big old home, split level home. Got 3, 4, 5 fireplaces in it. 3, 4, 5 fireplaces. And I think it's even 5 acres, maybe a little less. I just told her, I said, we're getting you out of this house. Oh, no, I want to live here. Ain't nobody but you. Hell, just to cut the grass. And I ain't going to be doing that. I'm getting rid of mine. They ain't with the big-ass houses until you get older. That house is for somebody who's raising kids. And it don't make any sense. Just to maintain it.
Right.
Probably over $1,000 a month. You know where it would be nice, Ella, if you could put this, go to Africa and do this, man. What you talking about? Let me tell you something. We bought land, we had land in Ghana, 16 acres, and built a two-bedroom chalet on it. I think I sent you a picture of chalet. It got the green top on it, green roof. You know how much that was? Huh? Did I send you a picture of the structure with the green roof?
How much?
The beach. This is on the beach.
$40,000. Repeat that because I'm taking notes while you talk. How much was it?
I said, we had 16 acres of land over there in Ghana on the beach in Kanka.
Okay.
Right? And on the beach, I sent you a picture of that chalet with green tops.
Uh-huh.
All that was about $40,000.
And that, oh, damn, that's on the beach, too.
Now, think of this. 16 acres, you can put about 70 10,000 square foot lots where people can build a house. And we charge them a maintenance fee on the land that's about $300 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's about $21,000 a month income. Just on maintenance fees. It ain't going to cost nowhere near that much to maintain it. But
right.
You never know. You know what you can live? If you got a house built in that country, if you got transportation, you can have a maid, a gardener, and a driver, and all your living expenses for less than $1,000 a month.
I like those numbers.
You ain't going to beat that nowhere right now. A driver, because they're going to let you drive no place by yourself. You're going to have somebody take care of your lawn and all that. And you have somebody clean your house. It's usually going to be next to a small village.
Mm-hmm.
But some young person will come over and clean your house, maybe even cook for you. You got a car, the driver will drive you where you got to go.
Right.
And they can be the guard at the same time of your property. For a grand, that there is possible. A month. So
well,
the opportunities in different places do exist. Like I said, if you
well,
have
I just
land,
took a note because you said it before. Like you said, I just put it in my journal
land,
here. The market, the single mothers with two at least
single
two kids.
That size home.
Yeah, that's a tribe, and that's a huge tribe. So I'm going to dedicate part of my marketing to that specific tribe because that's a huge tribe. And you did mention that before, but this time I've written it down.
And if you got something raised like that, like I showed you those structures there in Italy, Texas.
Yeah, I remember. I still got those geodesic domes, right?
That's all people want. I mean, most people want. When you really look at it, put some damn cactus in the yard. You don't need no grass.
Yeah. The grass is those kind of lawns, and get an edible lawn.
If you got a professional person living there, they just ain't gonna be doing all that stuff. I'm telling you, not today.
No, you're right. There's
some places here. There's some places. You know, you used to call them puppies back in the day. There's some places. There in the central, in St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
They're around one area, and they built some like studio. With the modern structures, modern designs.
Right.
Oh, and they got some small, tiny homes. I think I sent you something on that. But that's what they got going on. And I don't know how much those things. Oh, you know, we sent you some information from Alibaba on those small structures that you can fold and unfold.
Yeah, I really like those because when you brought that up, I guess it was last month, because I started to look for, matter of fact, I called one of those guys that you recommended I had on here, because I was looking, started to look for materials in this country, you know, so I can put it together
myself. You ain't got time to be doing that. You don't have time to be doing that yourself. Get the packages together. That's what
okay.
you do. You got your land. Get your packages together, your different designs, lay out the plot plan, go that route, put them damn things together, and then have somebody to come out and market it to that demographic, and
yeah.
have them to come out and see it, and you're ready to go.
Just get started.
With a trial.
Yeah.
All right, well, I wrote this down in my book here. That's an excellent big tribe, single mothers with children. That tribe's all
yeah.
over.
That's what it is. That's the demographic.
Yeah. And,
I can find that tribe in Russia,
always
China.
Renew. It will always renew itself.
You're right.
There will
it renews itself every day.
But, yes, all right?
Yeah.
So just and he says, does the same thing I said to you. You have all these ideas. You get the ideas. You figure it out. Just do it. Do it. Do it. Get started now. Just
all right. Well, I got to go.
Yeah, but I get tired of standing around with you every day at 11:30, man. And you ain't seen nobody.
Well, I'm going out and get some.
It's a work in progress. You got to be patient.
Yeah, I'm a working person.
Always be customer.
Is that the only land you got? Is that land in Texas? You got land down in Florida, don't you?
4 acres here, an acre and a half in Oklahoma, and 10 acres out in Texas.
I could just slap him because it's
with another two houses in New Orleans and a house in D.C.
He got passive money that's just floods.
Well,
tossed it up. I could just slap him. Silly.
I tell you what I do to house in New Orleans. I tell them. Because people ain't going to want to go to bed at night, you know, out in the middle of the damn ocean the next morning.
Now, this land in Florida is not South Florida. It's up in the northern part of Florida that borders Georgia.
All right. Well, is it habitable?
Yeah, it's pretty safe. It's nowhere near a huge body of water.
They got
springs all through there, you know. But
if it's habitable, when I mean habitable, they got roads. They can get to a shopping area.
Yep, it's got that.
Maybe some entertainment.
Got that.
Well, then I'd start off with that if I was you. Plot it out. Yeah, I can show you how to plot it out.
You
plot
know,
it
I'm,
out.
I'm going to text you some pictures within the next – give me 20 minutes after I get off the air today, and I'll text you the pictures.
Plot it
Thank
out. Then
you.
Look at them – things we showed you and go that route.
All right.
Once
well, you know what?
Then what you got to do is go, is
uh-huh.
what is it, the municipality where you got to go through building commissioner?
Yeah, it's a small county. I mean, it's Hamilton County, Florida. It's low population.
Well, if it's rural and you don't
have it's rural.
It's not like
zone agricultural.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't have that big of a problem like you would in a city.
No.
Because the reason they got those rules and stipulations in these cities is because if people move, somebody else is going to move back in it, and we got to make sure that it's safe for everybody. You know, they'll
right.
let you, in like in St. Louis County, they'll let you build your own house, do all your electric, plumbing, everything. I did that myself. All you got to do is go demonstrate to the man after you know what you're doing. But
okay.
if you don't know what you're doing, they ain't going to let you do it because the next person that moving that house is going to be subjected to the dangers that you just built into it. And somebody could get hurt or killed.
Right.
So that's why they need those. But what you got, it seemed like it would be ideal. You just got to go ahead and do it.
All right. Well, mm-hmm. I'm going to not email you. Text you the pictures.
no, you need to email me because
oh,
I got an old
okay.
home. I like old style.
Oh, sorry. Right,
I
got to
crank my phone up, put gas in it.
Okay. Give me about what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna conclude. I can't even talk.
Okay,
it's
I talked to you
today.
Literally.
Give me 15 minutes, Pianki. I'm gonna email you the picture.
How you feel?